Hi, everybody. I'm Brittany Lewis with Forbes Breaking News. Joining me now is Forbes tech reporter Alexandra Levine. Alexandra, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Brittany.
You recently investigated TikTok's policy when it comes to ads over the Israel-Hamas war, and the ads on Israel differ from the ads when it comes to Gaza. So how did you come across this?
TikTok finds itself in this incredibly tense moment, not only because there is this legislative threat in the United States to ban the app, potentially, but also because we're in a really high-stakes, fast-moving, complex moment with this war. And I'd say really the Ukraine-Russia war was actually the first TikTok war, meaning the first war that was unfolding at a time when TikTok had already exploded in popularity and had been really widely adopted around the world. But this war, I think, has thrust TikTok under the microscope even more in a very complicated way. I think that we've heard over the last 6 months since October 7th, claims from supporters of both sides of the conflict that their voices are being censored or being cracked down on the app, and that the algorithm is boosting one side and booting the other side, and TikTok denies that it favors either viewpoint. Those debates continue. But the reason we were so drawn to investigating the ads piece of this is because ads are, I would say, an overlooked piece of this, and arguably ads are actually the most persuasive thing you can have on this platform that has a billion people, because ads are paid, and because you pay for them, you can target them however you'd like. And so we really believe that ads, that we really wanted to look at the way that ads were sort of unleashed in the crucial early weeks of the war to see how that might have shaped global perceptions about things that were going on.
So I want you to take us back to a few days after October 7th. Obviously, we know when Hamas attacked Israel, they took over 200 hostages to Gaza, and a group wanted to put some ads on TikTok demanding the hostages' safe release. What happened?
During that time, these ads were submitted to TikTok, and the ads were, throughout the month of October, rejected. So again, during these crucial early weeks of the war. Around that same time, there were ads that were showing the growing and really devastating toll in Gaza that got through, and that were some of which were from humanitarian groups like the UN World Food Program, or like Doctors Without Borders, or Human Appeal, or Save the Children. And these were graphic ads that were showing the suffering and the tragedy and the horrible conditions for the people in Gaza. And you would see, you know, the hospitals in chaos and the horrible images of you know, the buildings in rubble. And it was really important to get those images out to the world and to be able to show those to people, especially given the enormity of TikTok's global audience. There were questions, however, from people inside TikTok in Israel about how come the ads about hostages were not making it through at the same time. Again, these were ads that were coming from a humanitarian group. This was a group that said it was not political. It was just trying to raise global awareness about the hostage situation. And they believed that this crucial early window of the war was a very important time to rally global support that would help them, they believed, demand the release and the return of the hostages home.
So you mentioned that the ads about Gaza did have graphic imagery. Did the ads about the hostages have graphic imagery?
The organization that was trying to run the ads is a group called the Hostage and Missing Families Forum. This is the leading grassroots volunteer organization that's just demanding the release of the hostages. When I spoke to them, they explained to me that TikTok said the main issues with their ads were that they were had visuals that were triggering, text that was triggering. They mentioned Hamas, which is against TikTok's policy for ads related to terrorism, and that they also mentioned the word hostages. So the organization said, we believe that we can compromise on removing the first three pieces of this, triggering visuals, triggering text, and mentions of Hamas, but you can't write an ad about a hostage that doesn't explain or state clearly that they are hostages. The advertisements that they shared with me that have been rejected over the month of October really showed the hostages living life before October 7th. One of them, for example, was a 47-year-old man named Elad Katsir. He was cheering in a stadium filled with sports fans, and that was one of the ads rejected. And notably, this past weekend, Israel announced that he was killed in January.
When you're looking at these ads, is this policy unique to TikTok? Were these ads permissible on platforms like Facebook, Instagram, things like that?
The Hostages and Missing Families Forum told us that actually they were able to run the same ads with no pushback and no problem on other platforms owned by Meta and by Google. So that's one piece of this. The other piece of this is that all of these platforms have policies for advertisements, and they do their best to enforce them. TikTok is not the only platform that has problems with enforcing the policies. But what we were really interested in investigating was, do they have a policy that for some reason rejects ads of hostages? And what they told us was, no, we have no specific policy banning the word hostages. What the issue was, they said, was that we used to not allow advertisements related to war. And we didn't until this year because we realized it was an issue and we fixed the problem. So what our investigation looked at was, well, they say that they didn't allow ads about war until this year. Were there any ads about war running on the platform between October 7th and the end of the year, in the first 3 months of the war, for example? And what we found by investigating by examining the European ad library for TikTok was that there were, in fact, many, many ads related to war that were running during that time. So that is, you know, in a nutshell, what contributed to such outrage and turmoil inside the company, and then criticism outside the company to better meet the moment.
There was internal and external outrage, as you said. Let's go inside TikTok at first. How did the employees inside the company react?
This issue for months has roiled the TikTok Israel office, where there's roughly 160 employees, for obvious reasons, being that there is a war in their country. But I think the bigger thing was also that one of the top and most beloved employees in that office has actually a brother who is currently among the hostages in Gaza. And so I think that for many of the employees, it hit close to home for that reason. Some employees had also been called up for reserve duties early in the war, only to return to understand that, to return to the company or check in with work colleagues, only to understand that this, you know, this back and forth and this debate over why can't these ads get through, that this was all unfolding in real time. And so what you saw over the course of many months were employees on the inside pushing back on leadership, and also arguing that what leadership was saying publicly about the issue did not match with what they knew to be true internally on the issue. And you know, in the course of our reporting, we were able to find some of that as well, simply by looking at TikTok's own European ad library. And I should also note, one of the main reporting obstacles in this, you know, reporting any of these stories about TikTok, is that TikTok, unlike some of its, you know, rivals like Google and Meta, they don't have an ad library that allows researchers, reporters, average TikTok users in the United States to see what ads are running on the platform in the US. So there's really no clear way to know, unless you see the ad, what is running. You don't know who's paying for it, and you don't know who's seeing it and who's being targeted. In Europe, they do have an ad library for that. So our analysis, I should say, really focused mainly on that EU ad repository. And what we were able to find was, not only was there a discrepancy in the way that TikTok was applying its own policies, but that there were actually, in the crucial early weeks and months of the war, by the end of 2023, there were millions and millions of people across a dozen European countries who had been seeing ads about one part of the conflict, but not about the other.
So now let's take a step outside of the country. What was the criticism TikTok was facing from people not working there? You mentioned that Davos was a flashpoint. Can you talk about that?
There were a couple of freed hostages who were released in late November, who traveled to Davos less than 2 months later, along with some of the family members of hostages, basically to talk to tech and business leaders about what they had seen, what they had experienced, and also to rally their support to support the hostages. And TikTok's head of operations, who now also oversees trust and safety and reports directly to the CEO, Shou Chu, he was approached, I understand, by at least one of the freed hostages, as well as family members of the hostages, basically to try to press him to make sure that TikTok, that the hostage, you know, those supporting the hostages are able to use the platform to get their stories out. So that was one piece of this. I think just a few days after that, though, there was a very high profile Senate hearing where there were five tech CEOs that participated. It was actually specifically about child safety, but TikTok CEO was one of the CEOs who attended and testified under oath. And the top Republican on that committee asked him, and it wasn't really about child safety, but just asked him straight out about a TikTok Israel employee who had resigned just a couple of days before that hearing, reportedly over, you know, in protest of this policy or this approach to hostage material.
So when you think about TikTok, obviously the audience does skew younger. There are over a billion users worldwide. So when a lot of Gen Z is getting their news from TikTok, how do you think it handled this conflict? Do you think it equally showcased all viewpoints?
I think, first of all, it is so important what you just emphasized, that TikTok has increasingly become a news destination. And it's not just for young people. It's become a news destination for so many users around the world. And that cannot be overstated. As for, you know, whether it has displayed all sides equally, I think that TikTok, it's crucial as a speech platform, right? I think that because there is so little transparency into the way that the algorithm works, the way that the way that content moderation works. Also, TikTok has notably in the last few months during the war taken steps to create even less visibility into the numbers. They've removed, for example, they've removed the view count on certain hashtags so that if you're searching, you know, Israel-Hamas war, or you're searching you're searching whatever it is that you're curious about, they've actually removed a lot of the view counts on those hashtags. So they've taken steps during this war to make it harder to understand what people are seeing. What you see on TikTok and what I see on TikTok will never be the same, because everything about this platform and what you see on it is dictated by who you follow and who you interact with and what your other contacts are doing. And so there's just no way to know what the next person next to you is seeing. So they may be presented with an entirely different reality. So to your question of, are they showing all viewpoints? I think the hope, and I think that the goal, I'm sure, of many well-acting and well-intentioned people at the company is, yes, we want to be able to show all viewpoints. The argument of why this app should not be banned in the United States is because they're making a free speech argument about it. So I think that there are lots of people in the company who are working in good faith to ensure that all viewpoints are included. Can we ever be sure about that, at least with the current state of the company and its, you know, the levels of transparency that it's operating with today? There's just no way to know.
And to your knowledge, what is TikTok's current ad policy today as it relates to the conflict in the Middle East?
TikTok told us as we were reporting the story that they recently, as of 2024, adjusted its policy that did not allow war-related ads to now allow war-related ads from humanitarian campaigns that showcase victims of war. So the Hostages and Missing Families Forum, they, to my knowledge, have now been able to run at least two ads, which they view as a win. But I think there's a question about all the lost time, especially in the crucial early weeks of the war when global opinion was being shaped and these conversations were beginning about how this could have panned out differently. And there's just no way to know, but how some of the conversations around the issues of hostages specifically may have been different had the families supporting them and the volunteers organizing around them had more of a voice in the crucial early weeks and months of the war.
Alexandra Levine, I appreciate your reporting. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.